Blog Talk Radio.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents The Dave and Gisky Rock Show. This is a show where we try to think for ourselves and offer thought-provoking, stimulating, informative, and entertaining discussion. Welcome.
All right. I like that intro. Dave, you did a great job.
Thank you.
That intro is the bomb. I like it. I like
it's
it
a collaboration,
lot.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Well,
it's
welcome,
your music.
Welcome. Yeah, that's that came from a song that I wrote called Chains. I wrote that a long time ago, probably 15 years ago. But, yeah.
Right, but it was still on your... That was your intro, just without the the overdub. That
yeah.
The music was your intro for the 2020 radio network.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I like that song so much. That's what I decided to use. So I'm glad that you brought it back.
Nice. Good. Happy to do it.
Yep. So welcome everybody to the Dave and G-Ski Rock Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I want to welcome you. I want to thank you all for being here with us. You didn't have to, but you are. So thank you very, very much. We got a good show lined up for you today. But before we do all that, get all the good stuff out the way. If you want to... call into the show. The call-in number is 516-387-1705. Once again, 516-387-1705. And if you have a question or a comment, all you got to do is hit the one on your dial pad and you are in there like swimwear. Got it? If you want to contact Dave, all you got to do is email him at dave@airwavesamerica.com. That's D-A-V-E at airwaves, W-A-V-E-S, America.com. You can email me at gski@airwavesamerica.com. Once again, that's airwavesamerica.com. You can find Dave on Twitter. He's T-Kami. Kami spelled with a K. That's how you can find him on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter.
Anti-Kami. You glitched on the anti part. And then told him how to spell Kami. No, folks. Anti-Kami with a K.
Yes. And then if you want to find me, I am G-Ski Rocks on Twitter. It's G-S-K-I-R-O-C-K-S on Twitter. That's how you can find me. That's all the good stuff. So there you go. There you have it. Email us. Tell us what we can do better or what you want to hear on the show, what you would like to see us talk about and things like that. You know, we're open for everything.
I was just going to say, you could ask. We'll see if we like it. Not trying to be mean. Not trying to be me, you know, just trying to be, you know, we got to be ourselves. And, you know, if you want us to talk about, you know, pink uniforms in red swimwear, that's probably not going to happen. So Just, I'm just leaving a caveat. That's all I'm doing. I'm dropping a caveat.
And Dave is good at that. So there you have it. Anyways, we got lots and lots of stuff to talk about. Dave had sent me a couple links this past week about some stuff that he's going to talk about. And all I could say is wow, because we have been talking about
right?
that type of stuff. Yeah.
Right?
All I can say is wow.
So, all right. So let me pass me the ball. Give me the ball. I'm open. All right.
You are
I
open.
I would like to start by kind of fixing. I want to climb back out of a rabbit hole I went in last week by accident. You know, we get on here and we start, you know, just thinking out loud and talking, you know, just blah, 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 out your mouth, you know? And I was listening to the show back and I was like, okay, I kind of let that hang and I should have climbed out of it, but that's my fault. So I'm going to fix that right now. It was when I asked you about it seems like mass shootings go up when Democrats are in office. And to, you know, on the surface, you didn't agree with that, just for the record. And I thank you for not agreeing with that, because, you know, if it only seems that way, then it doesn't have to be, you know, it's not the truth. But the idea behind the statement is when Democrats are in power, these things kind of ramp up. And now they're in a more of a position to do something about it, to do something they've been threatening to for, you know, as long as they can. However, I kind of went into a whole, you know, rabbit hole of that kind of ended up with the government mind control, making people do those things so that they can, you know, kind of like false flag. You know what I mean? And I want to make it clear that I don't believe that government mind control is real. Okay, I want that totally clear. But what I was trying to get, and in thinking about it and then just doing just a little bit of research, I realized what I was trying to get to. So I, like I said, I don't believe government mind control is a thing.
Emotep. Emotep.
Okay. but what I do believe is that gaslighting by the media is enough to drive someone into, you know, drive someone crazy or drive someone into drastic measures. And I want to explain a little bit that word, gaslighting. I have a couple of different definitions, and then a couple of publications that have articles with regards to this technique. Gaslighting is a technique that undermines your entire perception of reality. So when someone is gaslighting you, you often second guess yourself, your memories, your perceptions, you know. And then after communicating with the person gaslighting you, you are left kind of feeling dazed and wondering what is wrong with you. What is wrong with you? So that's one kind of little description of it. The verb gaslighting is to manipulate someone by psychological means into questioning their own sanity. And then I'm gonna click on one of these links because there was some interesting stuff on there. But the term gaslighting, you know, when I first heard the term gaslighting, it kind of gives me an image of somebody throwing gas on a fire. You know what I mean? That was kind of like the idea, you know, kind of like what's her name there, Maxine Waters down there.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But that's not exactly the definition of that phrase. That is simply throwing gas on a fire. But gaslighting is kind of an elaborate here's another description I got out of one of them, I think it was Psychology Today. I'm going to click on it and see where I got it. An elaborate and insidious technique of deception and psychological manipulation usually practiced by a single deceiver or gaslighter on a single victim over an extended period. Its effect is to gradually undermine the victim's confidence in his or her own ability to distinguish truth from falsehood, comma, right from wrong, comma, or reality from appearance, thereby rendering him or her pathologically dependent on the gaslighter in their thinking or feeling. So it's usually practiced by a single deceiver or gaslighter. That's it, on a single victim for over an extended period. That is, it's not limited to that. Because if you apply this to what's been going on, probably the past decade two decades of the media just throwing something out there, whether it's true or not, to back up what their agenda is, and then when it's proved that it was false, they kind of out the corner of their mouth, they're like, oh yeah, that wasn't really real, and then that was 5 seconds at the end of a show. They'll do a thing just a paper printing a retraction. They don't do it until page 76 on the very bottom, and they give it one paragraph or one sentence.
Right.
Let me see here. So those are serious descriptions and techniques. I don't know if they can. I click that link. Let me see here. I'm going to open another browser. Let's see. So I had Psychology Today gave me one of those descriptions. The other one was Medical News Today. And the term gaslighting, as it in this context, is It comes from, there was apparently a 1938 play in Britain or something, and then in 1944 they made a film called Gaslight. It's a story in which a husband manipulates his wife into thinking she has a mental illness by dimming the gas fueled lights and telling her she's hallucinating. So he would make the lights dim at night. And she would say, boy, it's dark in here. He's like, no, you're crazy. And there's nothing wrong with them lights. So that's a gaslighter. That's gaslighting. And it comes from the name of the play based on the lights that, that they were dimming were gas lights. And that's where the term actually comes from, those two films. It's about a guy that's driving his wife crazy on purpose, knowingly, to question her own reality. So then I was going, you do a search, you get a bunch of articles. Then I got another one, NBCnews.com, Better Health, and what gaslighting, how do you know if it's happening, blah, blah, blah. So here's a pull quote from the NBCnews.com. It says, gaslighting happens in personal relationships. Think an abusive spouse or, in rarer cases, a parent. In professional relationships, a manipulative boss or coworker preying on a subordinate, or even by public figures. And then they do a little aside. There are several examples of gaslighting being done by President Donald Trump and his administration. And I couldn't help but think, there's a classic example of freaking gaslighting right there. He's doing it, right? And he thinks he's not. So henceforth, I will refer to not the drive-by media, not the mainstream media, not the puppet show media, not the what's the other one? The parrot media? No, the mockingbird media. Not those. I'm calling it the gaslight media. That's my name for them henceforth. The gaslight media.
I'm down. I'm with you on that.
That's what's up. So if we go back to my three categories for the controversies that, you know, that were that people believe about Donald Trump, you know, the Russian collusion, Steele dossier, that was a clear gaslighting because they knew it was fake to begin with, and they got three or four, probably four extensions on the spying thing. Right?
Yes.
A quid pro quo. They couldn't really make anything out of that. And then, by the way, I thought of another point, circling back to the whole Steele dossier. It was starting to come out a little, you know, the volume was really low, but it was starting to come out that, wasn't it actually Hillary Clinton's campaign that commissioned the Steele dossier?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Nothing really to – so who was colluding with the Russians? Nothing to see here. Am I right?
Yeah. You are correct.
It kind of – I mean, they kept going with it to try to force it into something, you know. And then they – you know, then they're like, well, you know, we couldn't clear him of Russian collusion. Well, did you even look in Hillary's direction? You didn't even look in her direction when other people have, and they have all this evidence and all this paper trail. They got it, right?
Yeah.
So they gaslit that whole thing from start to finish, from conception to acquittal or whatever they call it, to having it disappear. So then quid pro quo, the first impeachment. Okay, let's go down that road. They knew there was nothing there, but they kept going. The one eyewitness, the one first-person witness, said that there was nothing wrong with that phone call. It was a quid pro quo type of thing.
Right.
And then there's the and we talked about this too. There was that video of we call him quid pro quo Joe.
Right.
Bragging about, you know, doing a quid pro quo. He wants that. He wants that prosecutor fired. And, you know, I'm leaving in 6 hours or you won't get the billion. Now, the argument was that prosecutor was corrupt. Okay. Fine. Got it. Although, he was investigating Burisma that Hunter worked for. Damn convenient. No, it's all right. That's all right. So then when that video started coming out, that whole thing kind of like went away. You know, everything that they're accused Trump of, they were guilty of so far. You know, the insurrection, gaslighting was that one. You know, Matt, how many videos of all those other Democrats telling people, you know, if they bring a knife, you bring a gun, you know, that type of thing. Or, you know, crazy Auntie Maxine, you know, just telling people, you get in their face. You see them at a gasoline station, you get out and create a crowd, you know, and all that. Well, how come they didn't get in trouble? How come they didn't get impeached, you know? So it's a clear – in other words, everyone's in on the gaslighting or they're brainwashed to the point where they don't realize that that's what they're doing. They have been gaslit to question their reality, to believe that the narrative is reality. And it's not. It's just the narrative, You know, and you can go down every other one of these things that they tried to create, and they did. They created it from whole cloth, some of this stuff. They knew about the Charlottesville speech where he said there's good people on both sides. Well, there were some people trying to remove statues and some people trying to save the statues. He went on 30 seconds later to say, you know, I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis or the other white supremacists. They should be condemned, you know, always, for all time, they should be condemned. But if you cut that part out, you can actually hear him say, well, there was good people on both sides. Oh, and then you can just plug in who those people were that he was talking about. Well, isn't that gaslighting and altering, you know, very being real sneaky about altering people's perception of reality? Of course it is. So when I was getting to last week about, you know, the conspiracy theory type stuff, I need to climb out of that. And then replace that whole thing with this particular, story that I thought. I think I'm ahead of the curve with this word because I haven't really this word here and there, but I don't think people really understand the definition of what it is and how it works and how well it works. So if we can. Get it out there and expose it when it's happening, more people will, you know, start identifying it and not believing those types of things. That's my thought. What do you think? No, I guess it's just me. G-Ski went to the bathroom, so we'll keep going. When the gaslighting is happening, it's almost with impudence and indignance. They will say an obvious lie. You know, they will give you numbers of people dying from being shot by police. They'll give you numbers that are like astronomical. Thinking no one's ever going to ever look it up or no one's going to hear about anybody else ever looking it up. So those kinds of things fall into that category. And it's done by everybody in the gaslight media. They're whether they realize that's the technique they're using or not, that's the category it falls into. You know, it was like the whole back in, who was it? Goebbels, when he said, if you tell a lie and tell it big and tell it often enough, that's what becomes the truth. Well, that's gaslighting. That's kind of the whole definition of it. G-Ski, you back with us? I can hear him. His mic is clicking on and off. Nothing going on? He's probably hooking himself up to his machine. So
yeah.
Oh, is that it? How's it going? Well, I was going to talk about something that Chuck Schumer said, but I forgot what it was. But, no, it was something he said a while ago about. Oh yeah, and I texted you about it. Yeah, that was right. So that was the other thing I kind of wanted to at least bring up. When, Chuck, I forget who he was talking. I just heard a clip, you know, of Chuck Schumer saying, you know, the American people have spoken. And that's why they're going ahead with all these, you know, all these trillion-dollar bills and COVID reliefs or whatever excuse they have, you know, they can pin to it. And they're going on and on and on with everything in their agenda. Do you hear Bernie Sanders complaining about Biden? No, you don't, because he's doing all the stuff that Bernie Sanders wants. You hear Elizabeth Warren complaining. You know, do you hear the squad? Well, they squawk anyways, but You know, the reason is because they're doing everything that those hard, hard left people have been talking about doing for a long time. And Joe Biden didn't run on those things. Right?
Right.
So they're acting as if now, because the American people have spoken. Well, let's not get into the, you know, the voter thing going on, because they did speak, but you guys hollered louder. You guys shouted us down. But anyways, with mail-in votes by the millions. But
yeah.
So when he says the American people have spoken, and you know, we, in other words, they believe that they have some kind of a mandate to do every far left thing that they can do as fast as they can do it because they're in power. But let me ask this, and I texted this to you. If you have a 3 or 4 seat majority in the House of what, 454 people, and then you have a 50-50 Senate with just the vice president to break a tie, how the hell is that a mandate? How the hell is you know, that supposed to equal that you get to do whatever you want? If you had a mandate, you would not need to get rid of the filibuster. The filibuster is in the Senate because the Senate is where things are supposed to slow down. Because in a democracy, and there have been plenty of democracies in history, some of the ancient democracies where the government would be what everybody who was there voted on. Well, the next time there was anything going on, and they would vote on things like going to war and stuff, right? I learned this from the Hillsdale College thing from Larry Allen. They would vote on things like going to war. Okay. Well, then they would vote to have another vote about stopping the war. A different set of people would show up. They would elect a different set of people to go out and arrest the people that are out there fighting the war. You know, so that's how quick it could happen. And whoever gets to do the talking to the people who's there can sway all those people who showed up to vote. And you know, it's all emotion. When you have a mob, when you have the masses assembled, it's all emotion, and it's quite a thing. It's quite a feeling. To be in a huge, huge, huge group and everybody's all kind of on the same page. Well, if you can get somebody to kind of steer that group, then you can have a lot of power by saying, well, all these people are behind me. So, you know, that's how the democracy works. So you can have one thing one day, and then if they want, they can just vote to have another vote. And they'll have the other vote, and then it'll be okay. Now it's against the law to do what those last people did. We're going to go get them. Well, that's what a mob does, and it's all based on emotion. So you know, and like I said, if you get somebody with a little bit of charisma, you can steer that mob in a certain direction. Well, now they have, and you probably remember this one. They have a college that you can go to learn how to steer mobs. It's called the Midwest Academy. And the biggest thing they teach there is called direct action. Direct action. They teach about, they have different subjects, you know, obviously, but it's mostly a political science type college, and you'll go there to learn how to flip the cap off of a cop, you know, to try to get him to try to get a reaction out of him, or you know, you'll learn. That's where the ideas come up with, I'm sure, for all the lasers trying to get guys to get the cops in the eye. You know, that's where they learn what to put in their backpack to show up at a protest where there's a lot of people. And then these guys will get a megaphone, and whether anybody knows them or not, they'll start hollering through, hey, you know, hell no, we won't go, or whatever it is. And they get people going. So that's the danger of the democracy, where it's two wolves and a sheep trying to decide what's for dinner. That's one of the last things, and I got there from the Senate being 50-50 and the filibuster and all that. So the very last leg of the stool preventing a full-out democracy right now is the Electoral College, because everybody directly elects their representative, and now those same people directly elect senators, and they want to do away with the Electoral College so that everyone will directly elect the president. Well, that's the only thing keeping us from slipping into mob rule. And we saw that this week at the Chauvin trial. And, you know, they weren't affected by the mob. You tell me that jury didn't have that in mind. How we doing, G? Maybe he popped off. There was some of the jurors were. You got me?
I'm back. I got kicked out. I don't know what happened.
No, all right.
I got kicked out of my own show.
Wow. Well.
Anyway.
Hopefully, I was broadcasting.
I believe you were.
I covered quite a bit of ground, and I circled it all back, and I circled it back to the Electoral College is like the last leg of the stool, keeping us from slipping into a full mob rule democracy. So, and then I was like, well, it's they're experiencing the power that they can get from a mob, because, I brought up the Chauvin trial. The Chauvin verdict. You think those jurors didn't have that mob in mind when rendering that verdict? There was even some that were interviewed that mentioned that.
Exactly correct.
All right, so said my piece. I think I just did diarrhea of the mouth for half hour.
Hey, our great, great friend, Sue from New Mexico, I think she has some commentary. So I am going to bring in the great, great Sue from New Mexico, the person that promotes our show and all that good stuff. She promotes a lot of shows, but she promotes our show. And
yeah, it's good to be on the list.
Yes. <She promotes. laughs> Sue, how you doing? Welcome,
hey,
welcome, welcome.
Hi, I'm doing real good. You know, there was an alternate juror who was on the trial you were talking about.
The Chauvin trial.
And she, and she did say that she worried, I guess, what the judge did, none of them knew if they were an alternate until the very last moment. And so she said every time she left, she was worried about going home and about what would happen if they didn't do the right verdict. So all of this did affect it. Now, I think she was guilty after I watched the trial. But the fact is, you know, in another trial, if they do this again and say it's the wrong verdict, you know, this just has to really stop. And the other thing, Dave, can you explain the difference between a republic and a democracy? And I know most of us know the difference. There might be some new listeners, and I'm still finding some conservatives who still don't really understand it. And anyway, that's enough from me.
Okay.
Okay, no, bye.
Okay, thanks. Well, the I did get into, you know, the direct democracy. That's the whole one man, one vote, or one person, one vote. Technically, it should be one ID, one vote at this point, because, you know, they're manipulating that. But a form of gaslighting is going on everywhere, because every chance they get, they refer to our country as a democracy, which it is not, but they keep saying it is, and they keep saying it. Well, it's not really a democracy, because it's not one man, one vote. It used to be, the way it was set up, the one man, one vote only went for your congressional representative, and their term was 2 years. So that took care of the mob. So in other words, the mob would elect somebody that they liked, but if it turns out they didn't like them eventually, they only needed to keep them there for 2 years, and then they had to vote again. And so that was your congressional representative, your 2 year congressional representative. Everybody, one person, one vote. That takes care of everybody's representation. It was supposed to. The Senate was supposed to originally represent the states, the state legislature. The state legislature would appoint two senators to represent them as like ambassadors, if you will, to represent their will. And then, you know, the state governments are set up, you know, a bunch of different ways. However the state decided to. You know, however the people who live there decided to set up their state government. Some of them have, like New Hampshire has like a huge Congress, you know, for such a small state. They have hundreds of representatives, and other states don't have as big of a body. But so then, like I said, the senators were appointed by the state legislatures, and, you know, they were there for 6 years. Well, they're supposed to be a little bit smarter, a little bit more seasoned. The age requirement is a little higher to, you know, get a little more season in to a person that would be in that position. And if they didn't like what they were doing, the state legislature could call a vote and recall that senator and replace him with someone who would represent them better. So if only, right? Well, the 13th, the 17th Amendment in 1913 was now individuals directly elect senators. So that took out that leg. And now, number one, the states have no representation, as it were, and the senators are really not accountable to anybody. And they're there for 6 years at a time. And some of them, you know, some of them have been there for six terms, you know, that's 36 years, okay? That's way too long. They're 85. How old is Pelosi? 90?
Yeah, right? She's up.
So she's up there. Yeah, I know she's up there. So then the Electoral College was set up to kind of collect the will of the people in each of the states, and they got the same amount. They got the amount of electors as equal to the number of Congress people that state had, and plus the two senators. So that's how many presidential electors each state has. So you know, if it's a big state with a lot of people, you've got more representatives, so they'll get more electors. And then the counting of the electors is determined also is determined by state legislatures, and that's what keeps everything kind of like out of the hands of any one body. If you look at a society, and the government of a society, you have the one, you have the few, and you have the many. So in other words, the many is us. The many is the mob, okay? So the many would elect elect the few being like the Congress, okay? And then the one would be the president or the king, you know what I mean? So you've got those three basic elements that make up, you know, a society, a governed society. And what the founders did, they separated those three things so each one would be able to, you know, counteract the other, okay? That, on top of being the three branches that were co-equal and all that, and each one would supposedly jealously guard their power from another branch who might try to encroach. Well, what it's come down to is each of the three branches are now working together to enlarge the entire federal government. So in other words, if the Supreme Court lets the Congress take power, for instance, from the president, well, that just means the whole federal government gets to get bigger. So they're part of the federal government, so it gets bigger for everybody. I think that's kind of one of the things that's going on, whether they realize it or not. But so the republic is where, you know, everything is separated and not in the hands of any one of those three bodies, the one, the few, or the many. Okay, so the difference between the republic, you have some protections. You have some representation. You have some due process. You know, you have these rules to go by, and the democracy or the mob. It's just basically 51% or 50% plus one person can vote to actually take away the rights of the other 49% or 50% minus one person. You know what I mean? So you can actually make it legal to take rights away from a certain group, you know, kind of like, where is it in Washington, where, I think it's in Washington State, maybe I heard that they're not issuing COVID vaccines to white people. Not sure if I heard that right, but where exactly it was, but that is a thing. And, you know, the legislature ruled on it, so apparently it's legal. I mean, it's not constitutional by any stretch of the imagination, but because it was done the proper way, makes it legal. You know, they can make any law that they want, And it will be legal. I mean, against other people. That's the mob. That's a lynch mob, right? Whether a person's guilty, hang them. It'll make me feel better, you know. But they're never satiated, and they're never satisfied. They will always want the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. So, Susie, hopefully that satisfied your request for an explanation of the difference between a republic and a democracy. Don't know how I did. I'd love to hear how I did. If you want to bounce back in.
Yeah, her mic is still open, so she can speak at any time. You know, her mic is open, so it's all good. I got
nice.
It. I got it. Okay. I understand it. And
all right.
Yeah. So. If you add in the gaslighting and all of the other stuff, and we got a lot going on, and a lot of people don't realize it right now.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. A lot of people don't realize it. Sue has dropped off. Okay. Hopefully she'll call back in. But yeah, there's a lot of gaslighting going on right now. Especially
it's like everything. Everything is gaslighting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like anything that they report, it's the narrative. It's not what happened. It's what they want you to think is going on. That's gaslighting. Hello. Everything that they bring in is, you know, narrative.
Right. Right. And yeah, that's exactly it. Nancy Pelosi is great at it. She's great at it. She does it all the time in her daily briefings when Congress is in session. She has her daily briefings. She does it all the time. And people don't realize
it's a big lie. Remember that? All roads lead to Putin. Well, what makes you say that? And it's not, I mean, because you say so? Is that all? Is that all?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just they exploit their own credibility, and the media lets them get away with it.
Yeah, and people start to question themselves. Well, maybe all roads do lead to Putin.
But not through Trump. But not through Trump.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is freaking insane. Like I said, when you sent me those links and I read those links, you said it before I did. You said he's going to say wow. And that was the thing. Sue's back. Hold on a second.
All right.
Yeah, Blog Talk wouldn't let me unmute myself. I'm sorry, Dave.
No, that's
so
right.
I just had to go all the way out and start again. But that's no, fine. That was just excellent, you know, the way you explained it. And you should mention your books, too, because people can learn a lot from your books. I know that's where I started, 9, 10 years ago was with your books. But anyway, thank you very, very much.
Okay.
And
I forget about the books,
now.
Actually. I forget about my books. It's been so long.
You know, it's time for them to come back around again because people can learn so, so much from your books.
Yeah.
And it amazes me how much people don't really understand. But, of course, they're not being taught in school. So,
no, they're being gaslit in school.
For a teacher.
They're being gaslit in school.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much. And I'm just going to go back to listening. All right. I appreciate it.
Well, it's great to hear you, Sue. Thank you very much. And very kind words. Thank you very much.
Yeah. That's awesome.
All right, so if you're interested in books by David Graham, you can go to lulu.com and you can look for a book called Stay Mad, Observations of a Proletarian. Or you can look at the second book, what's it called? Oh, yeah, Reality is Not Optional. And then there was a subtitle, too. I forgot it. I don't even have it on me. The constant struggle between state and federal government, or I forget what it was.
Now, where did you get the title for your second book from? We talked about that before.
I think it was Thomas Sowell. I think it was him.
I wrote it
in the book. I loaned my last copy out, and you know how that goes. So I don't have it, in front of me, but I'm pretty sure I put it like on the inside cover or something like that. That I got it from. I heard the phrase, you know, reality is not optional, and I was like, oh my God, that is just so brilliant, in 4 words. That says everything I needed to say, you know, to introduce the ideas that I had in my book. And, you know, like I said, if only reality wasn't optional. I mean, you have to live in a reality, but you can live in a reality believing the narrative. And that's what everybody's walking around doing.
Yes. Reality is not optional. The ceaseless battle for individual liberty in the United States.
There you go. Where'd you get that?
Lulu.com. I went
wow,
straight
that was,
there.
That was quick. You're the
it
man.
It was very easy to find, people. So you want to get his books, go to lulu.com. You can – I just typed in reality is not, and your book came straight up, first one there.
That, you know, the reason it came straight up is because I think I've sold maybe 9. So if I was selling like, if I was selling like, you know, 9,000, it would not be the first one up. Let's put it that way. They would be on to me. They would be shutting me down. They would be putting me on the other page, you know.
Anyway, yeah, but
I had fun writing the books, and you know, and I realized, you know, when I had the first book, was called Stay Mad, and I was just kind of like going through and figuring stuff out, and I was investigating things, I was investigating leads, so I would hear something on like a radio show or something, and I would make a note, and I would, you know, I would come home and I would take out all the little scraps of paper out of my pockets. I'd sit down at the computer and I would start, you know, start looking into stuff that interested me, you know, and then, you know, I started gathering a whole bunch of information. But basically the first book is kind of like a documenting my political awakening. You know, that's me learning about these things and sharing it with people. If all you do is watch TV news and go to bed, you're not going to know about all the stuff that's in here. And then I started getting into the Constitution and, you know, the founding documents, and they were, you know, very, very exciting if you give them a chance. If you just don't automatically believe that they're written by slaveholders and those were terrible, terrible, terrible people. Well, they it's not quite like that, you know? And like I texted you earlier, I'm going to say it anyways. If the country was founded in 1619, where are those founding documents? I'm just asking for a friend. You know, it's a rhetorical question.
You know, that is an excellent segue into the Dr. Alan Keyes bit that I have about the founding fathers being racist and slaveholders and stuff like that. That's cool. Excellent.
That's good. Why don't you hit some promos and come back and do it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Do that. Hit some promos. Okay. Hit the other intro and we'll come back for our second hour. We're a little early. We're not on the top of the hour, but
yeah.
Give people a chance to hear some stuff and hear the alternate intro if you can hit it.
Oh yeah, show one. Okay, yeah, that's the alternate one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're gonna take a quick break. Gonna play a couple promos. I still gotta talk to Vito and those guys and get their promos. I've just been bogged down with a whole lot of stuff, and I just haven't had time to contact them. But I will.
All good.
And,
all good.
Yeah, and we'll. We'll contact them and do our thing. So we're going to take a quick break, people, and we'll be right back. You are listening to Airwaves America, the Dave and G-Ski Rock Show. We will be right back.
I love life. I love life because there's a challenge and something new every day. I was told when I was getting married that I had this kidney disease, and my three sisters had it, and two of my brothers had it as well. It slows the kidneys down till they stop working. I tell myself that this can be rough and hard, but you can live, and you can be happy. I go to dialysis 3 times a week. I spend 4 hours in the center. It's good to go to dialysis and see somebody care about you. I'm a social worker by profession. I like being around people. It is important to listen to your technicians and your doctors, your nephrologists and dietitians. If you don't talk to them, they don't know you're feeling bad or feeling sick. By working together, you'll feel better. I got my husband. I got my family. I got my job. I visit different places doing health and wellness like hospitals, dialysis centers, clinics and do workshops concerning prevention for kidney failure. Dialysis affects people in different ways. Find out how it affects you so you can be able to beat it to the punch, so you'll be able to be active and do things that you want to do. Be educated about what's going on with you and your body. I try to enjoy life more than what I have before. I have kidney failure, and I'm living well.
I am Conor McGregor, multiple weight MMA champion. I'm a fighter, and I've been through many battles in the octagon. Many consider my fights in the octagon heroic, but the real-life heroes are those men and women who fight to protect us every day. The real-life fighters, the real-life heroes, are the firefighters and police officers. These first responders are true heroes, because these brave men and women put themselves in the line of danger every single day, protecting us all. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation ensures that first responders from fire, EMS and police departments who are killed in the line of duty with young children have a home without the burden of a mortgage. They are my heroes. They need our help today. I'd like to ask you to join me in donating $11 a month to support their efforts. Your $11 a month honors and supports our first responders. Please call now at 1-844-BRAVEST or visit tunneltotowers.org.
When we do internet talk radio, we receive support from a great many areas. We have listener support, of course, and some who help with the promoting. One group that often goes unrecognized are the wives of internet talk radio hosts. They are the ones who tolerate our dalliances and the time we invest in our hobbies. Well, this is one way we can properly recognize those who are closest to us by broadcasting their sincere sentiments regarding our passions.
They are gonna stay up all night. You have family, you know. You're always at that computer. How much money do you make doing that dumbass radio show? You're not the only one who lives there, you know. You better come and eat. I'm not bringing it in there.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and GC Rock Show. Thanks for joining our informative, stimulating, thought-provoking, an entertaining show. Welcome.
That was just as gangster. I like that one too.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, Dave, you do a great job at doing promos, especially the wives promo, the wives of BTR. That is awesome. I love that one. I laugh every single time.
So do I.
I hear
so
it.
So do I. Me too.
Because there is some truth in that. So
that's
yeah.
What makes it funny.
Yeah.
Luckily, you know, the wives at least have a sense of humor, and you know, they don't get mad at me for that. I mean,
yeah,
some wives somewhere would you know probably, but mine doesn't. So.
Yeah. But it's all good. It's all good. It's all great. Okay. Welcome back, people. Welcome back to the Dave and G-Ski Rock Show presented by Airwaves America or Renaissance Radio. Just to give you some information, if you want to call into the show, the call-in number is 516-387-1705. Once again, 516-387-1705. That's how you got to do it. If you have a question or a comment, just hit the one on your dial pad, and that will indicate to us that you got something to say or you got a question. It's all good. It's all gravy. All right. Before we went on break, Dave, conveniently segued into something that I was talking about on our last show. I was talking about Dr. Alan Keyes. Dr. Alan Keyes, I really do admire this guy. He is super smart, and every time he opens his mouth, I am there. And you know, he's run for president a couple times. He ran for Senate in Illinois against Barack Obama, only because at the time, I just have to make this clear, because you know, people were calling him a carpetbagger and all this other stuff. The only reason why he ran is because the people of Illinois requested that he would, because the Republican that was running at the time, they had revealed some stuff about his home life and him visiting strip clubs and all this other stuff. So he dropped out. And they were like, hey, there has to be somebody that could beat Barack Obama. And they called upon Alan Keyes. He was called upon. And he gladly did it. He had a speech talking about why he did it. And, the way he explained it, just phenomenal. This guy is just absolutely, I mean, he's super smart. But anyways, we were talking about, people always talk about, well, how can we believe in the founding fathers when they were racist, they had slaves and all this other stuff. I just happened to be listening to a speech by Dr. Alan.
Yeah.
This, and I was sitting there going, wow, wow. And how he put all this together, I mean, it's just phenomenal, sensational, whatever words you want to use, it's the bomb. So I'm going to play it for everybody and let you all hear it. And, yeah, we'll discuss it once it's done. But here is Alan Keyes. I can't remember the name of the conference that he was speaking at, but it was a pro-life conference. But you know, Alan Keyes, he puts all this stuff together, and I mean, it's just phenomenal. So here is Dr. Alan Keyes speaking about the founding fathers. It's long, but not long. Just bear with us, okay?
Let it rip.
I have to say that even though I have spent the last couple of weeks, like a lot of people, I do a little TV program these days, and when you're doing talk, right, you're talking about what's going on and current events and so forth and so on, you do ride the wave of those events a little bit, so you end up talking about what is uppermost in the news. And, of course, the crisis of the could-be pandemic involving what I see in my own mind, I honestly have to share this with you. I call it the Wuhan virus, but I know we're forbidden to do that. I still have enough of the ornery American in me that I do it anyway. But the COVID-19 or whatever they call it, and you can, when you are thinking about the possibilities that face us in such a crisis, you might.
I had to stop it. You know what I did? I uploaded the whole entire speech. I didn't. I'm looking. Hold on. Give me a second here. I'm looking for the clip that I put together. That was the whole entire speech. I didn't realize that. Uh-oh, SpaghettiO. I'm. Bear with me.
Can you skip it forward a little bit, or?
Huh? What did I do?
I have to say that even though I have.
Wow.
Well, so far my show prep is better.
Yeah, I chopped it up, and I thought I chopped it up correctly. Apparently I did not. I'm tripping.
All right, Will, you want to find it, and I'll do some like show tunes or something with these guys. We'll sing along. I'll get my harmonica. We'll do some campfire tunes or something.
Yeah.
I'm here we are.
By myself, a gas at the hubris of those who in hard bags will invite us to look back at the founders. Those racists, we shouldn't listen to a word.
Okay.
All right, let it rip.
I found it, but let me see.
But it's
if
not
it'll...
uploaded.
Yeah, let me see if let me see if Blog Talk will let me do it on the fly.
Oh, I think they will. I think they'll let you pop it in there.
Yeah, let me see if they'll let me do it on the fly. Let's see here.
And then all we have to do is show tunes until it finishes uploading.
Yeah. Now, I think this is it, but...
It sounded like it. It sounded like it was getting into what you were talking about, so...
You heard the audio that I was playing?
Yeah, it sounded like it was, oh, they're racist, the founders. Yeah. That,
oh,
like,
you
can
hear that. Well, maybe
barely.
Maybe
if you want to bring it right up to your microphone, then maybe, but...
Oh,
it was,
okay.
It was better uploaded.
You were hearing it through the microphone.
Right.
Okay. All right. Let me see here. Let me see if it'll do me that favor.
Zibi zaba zuba.
It's loading pretty fast.
All right.
I was wondering why. Now. Where is it? Oh, it's processing. Okay. We can talk while it's processing.
Okay.
So
what's he going to say? Let me show you what Dan Bongino gave me for public speaking. He said I went to school, you know, I had a lecture and they were talking about public speaking. And he said the first thing you're going to do is you're going to tell them what you're going to tell them. And then you're going to tell them. And then afterwards, you tell them what you told them. that's the formula for public speaking. You tell them what you're going to tell them. And then you tell them. Then you tell them what you told them. That's from Dan Bongino. So, anyways.
Okay. All right. I think this is it. Like I said, it's about 4 minutes long. So bear with us. This is Dr. Alan Keyes, and he's talking about the founding fathers and racism and all that other stuff. All right. Here we go.
I find myself aghast at the hubris of those who in hard bags will invite us to look back at the founders. Those racists, we shouldn't listen to a word they say. They were racists. They had slaves. They didn't free all their slaves.
And I say, oh, well and good. Do you know why I admire the founders? Even though they didn't free my ancestors? Even though decade upon decade followed in which they were continually oppressed, deprived of education, their promise thwarted, and their justice denied. Why would I still admire the American founders? Because they're so much better than the generation in which we live. In this generation, they are not content to extinguish the hope of one race or that race or the other race. Their drive is to extinguish the hope of all the offspring of humanity and to return us to the understanding that once you had the power that put weaker people in your possession and made them, as it were, your instruments and belongings, you should celebrate the right to extinguish their lives, as if that is the fulfillment of our greatest human ambition. I rather admire those who articulated the true standard of justice as they fail to meet it, than those who insist on destroying the possibility of justice, not just for one race, but for the whole human race, and abandoning the standard of truth by which this nation raised the banner of that justice, so in generation after generation after generation, people could also raise that banner and call this nation to fulfill that promise of truth, until time after time, the line was moved, the justice was attained, the hope was raised again and again and again, which today they deny in the womb, not just to one race, but to all the human race. I rather admire those who, racist as they might have been, yet lifted up the standard of God that condemned their racism, than to have to live under the edicts of those who, raising up the standard of murder and death, seek to impose by their power that standard so that it will extinguish in the end the heart and hope of all humanity. This is what is at stake in our battle. It is not just the cause of helpless infancy. It is the cause of all helpless and powerless and hopeless humanity, which has been raised not by our goodwill, but by the goodwill of God, and which is being denied in the very standard of truth by those who now champion the extinction of humanity in the womb. I rather admire those who are racist than those who practice the most thoroughgoing racism of all, anti-human racism. And we must tolerate it no longer. We must bring it to an end.
That was quite powerful, wasn't it? Hey, people.
I had to unmute. Yeah. Who was he talking to?
I can't remember. It was a conference. I don't remember the name of the conference, but yeah. He was talking to some peeps at a conference. But I mean, the way he explained why he entrusts in the founding fathers, you know, and how he equated racism and all that stuff, how he put that together. I was just like, wow, that's it right there. And yeah, it was just really, really powerful.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Leave that up there, because I might want to check it out.
I will.
Yeah.
I will leave that up there. I'm going to try to find the conference that he was in. Oh, here it is. Bringing America Back to Life 2020. So it was last year sometime. March 6th and 7th in Cleveland.
Right before lockdown.
Yeah, Bringing America Back to Life 2020. So that was a conference that he was speaking. Like I said, it was a pro-life conference. And he got down with the get down. That was really, really powerful. And I mean, he had a lot to say in that particular conference. There was a lot more. Like I said, it was probably, he probably spoke for about an hour. And yeah, I listened to the whole entire thing. Alan Keyes is my guy. And I was saying this before, I don't remember whether it was the last show or the show before, but he's been the old show. He probably was on the show more than anybody else.
Well, I'm sitting here just thinking, why don't you get him on, this show?
I'm going to try. I still have his number. I will give him a call and see if he is willing to come on the show and kick it with us.
Well, that's good.
That would be awesome.
That would be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
he can
explain, you know, when somebody has a speech and they go through and they do, you know, explanations like he just did. We can't ask any questions, you know. So if we lose one little piece of it, we're still thinking about that one piece, and he's gone on ahead. And then we, you know, that's what happened to me. I'm like, okay, wait a minute, what's he talking about? And next thing I know, I'm like, okay, well, now what's he talking about? You know, so when you, that's why I was saying, send me that clip or something, you know, because you know, I wanna study it a little bit, you know, like I said, and if he was here. You know, we could, you know, real time ask a question and.
Oh yeah, I would definitely get on that. I will give him a ring, and see if he can make some time to be on the show.
All right. So, where's Doc Jones? Doc Jones, if you're listening, give us a call. We're waiting on you.
Yeah, he DM'd me on Instagram and asked if we were doing a show tonight, and I said yes, sir, and I sent him the link.
All
so,
right.
Yeah, so that was that. And you know, if he wants to check in, he can, you know, and hang out with us.
Awesome.
I want to say hi to everybody in the chat. We got some people in the chat. We got some people on the phones. I just want to say hi and thank you all for being here. Like I said at the beginning of the show, you didn't have to, but you are. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we're just hoping to build up our audience. And
yeah, so tell your friends.
Yes. Yeah. Tell your friends. Tell your friends to come on, hang out with us. You know, you ain't got nothing else to do on a Friday night. Come hang out with us.
So, like, Bigfoot has been with us since the show that we hacked through on here.
Yes. Yes.
So hopefully Bigfoot can see that we're slowly and surely trying to get a little bit of more of a format, a little more of a professional, you know, sound to it. And that, I think, is going to be what's going to attract, you know, people. We know what we're talking about. We've researched. We've got this and that. We got our promos down. We, you know, even if, you know, we're not making any money off any ads, we got a couple, you know, we got a couple promos that we do. And we'll get some from the other radio shows, and we'll be playing them. You know, maybe, you know, worst comes to worst, I'll just make one for those guys. give me when their show is on, and I'll just pump it up. You know, do my own little promo, which is what I used to do anyway. I used to make promos for all, you know, a bunch of different shows, a bunch of different shows.
Oh yeah,
it was Dana Smearman. Who else do we have? We had the kid Victor.
Yeah.
Did that one.
Doc Jones.
Doc Jones. Well, of course, Doc Jones. I mean, he actually hired me to make some promos for him. so that was kind of cool.
Oh yeah,
and then well, we had who do we have? Who's the guy that lived in Maine? His name was Dave. I forgot his screen name. He's a Twitter guy.
Oh, you're talking about No Way.
Yeah, yeah, No Way 90. Yeah.
Yeah, No Way 90.
I met him, you know.
Did you?
Yeah. He was doing a job in New Hampshire, and it was in a town where, you know, I happened to be driving through, and I gave me the address, and I kind of looked him up, and I met him and his son, and I think he actually had me sign a book.
Oh.
And he said, since you're here, you might as well sign my book. All right. You know, he was doing work on our house, in the way out there.
Yeah. I haven't
seen him or talked to him in years at this point, but
yeah.
Did he have his own show? I can't remember. Or did he just
Yes, he did. When we were kind of dropping off, he started his own show. Because you remember what's my man's name? He did a show on Friday nights, and it was all of us, you know, Luchadora, and it was just a whole posse.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I forget his name now. I forget his Block Talk Radio name. But anyways, he started there, and then from there he started his own show, and his show went on for a while. I don't know what happened. That's when I went into, you know, serious medical issues, so I completely dropped off. Mm. And when I came back, he wasn't around anymore. But his wife, remember Angry Mom?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she still sends me, holiday cards, you know,
nice.
E-cards. Yeah,
yep,
she sends me E-cards every year, nonstop. She always does.
That's
so,
nice.
Yeah, I still get stuff from her. I know we're going a little off topic, everybody, but I met I don't remember his last name. His first name was Steven. He had a radio voice. I just don't remember his last name. But he was with Patriot Radio or something like that. Patriot yep. Zone or something like that. Well, yeah, Steven. I actually met him. I met mm-hmm. him at the airport. He was coming through Atlanta, and he had a long layover. So me and my wife hopped in the car, went out to the airport, and met him and hung out with him for a little while.
Nice.
So, yeah, so we've met some people.
He wasn't the guy that pro radio promos professionally, was he? Because the Voldemort had a guy that he bought his promos from, and then
he didn't do it professionally, but he was getting into the business.
I got you.
Yeah, I think he was going to school for it or something like that. But yeah, he was
ringing
a
bell,
getting...
but I can't place who it is. It's kind of ringing a bell, but
yeah, his name was Steven. I don't remember his last name though. But yeah, I actually met him. And for all of you who don't know, me and Dave have actually never met. But we are the best of friends.
That's
yes.
True.
So
well, because when he tells me where he is, I make sure I'm not in that town, so
yeah, it's
how far
it's
are you from? How far are you from like Tampa?
8 hours.
All right, that sucks. But all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
About 8 hours, but it's all good. It's all good. You know.
I was down in it's a little north of Tampa, but my sister-in-law and brother-in-law live down there. We went down last February, not this past February, but the one before we were down there. Maybe February, March, or one or the other.
Yeah.
to visit. So that's about as far, you know, that's about as close as I'm going to end up getting to you. I do have a nephew that just moved into Atlanta, though.
Ah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah,
I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, we used to go to Tampa a lot. Just to be going. But
yeah.
We haven't traveled in a while, but it's all good. It's all good. All right, so what else do we got going on here? What else do we got going on?
Like I kind of mentioned, the only other thing really that's going on, other than everything you see on TV is gaslighting, is you got the Chauvin trial. We mentioned that. You got that they're trying to do away with the filibuster, I don't think they're going to be doing that. They're trying to make D.C. a state. That, I think, ran into trouble. I think they passed it in the House, but it doesn't look good for a 60 vote, you know, in the Senate.
Right.
So that's why they got to get rid of the filibuster. Now, what a temper tantrum is this whole push for statehood for all these other states, just so they can get Democratic senators and get the majority. And then, yeah, bringing it, boy says we need to look at the Green New Deal. Yeah. And we'll check that out. But the other thing is packing the court with the justification that, well, Trump packed the court. No, he didn't pack the court. He appointed jurists. He appointed justices. That's what he did. Now, just because they're appointed by a Republican doesn't automatically make it they say. And again, a gaslighting thing. Oh, with our 6-3 conservative court. It's not a 6-3 conservative court. Not by a long freaking shot. So,
right.
You know, it's like just because it was somebody appointed by a Republican just simply means they're not a left-wing wacko activist, which they want to put in there. So they're going to add 4 seats and let Biden appoint 4 left-wing wacko activists with no filibuster, which that's already gone for judges anyways. But that's why that's the only reason Trump got the ones in that he got, because they eliminated the filibuster on judge appointments. So
right.
Otherwise, he wouldn't have got them, you know, and it just would have been, I think it just would have been light for the remainder of his term. So, but it wasn't the Republicans that got rid of the filibuster for Supreme Court. It was Harry Reid.
Exactly.
Just to get people on there that he wanted. Who'd they get? They got Sotomayor and Kagan.
Yeah.
And they're young, so that sucks. But so now they have the Green New Deal. I've heard things about it, and most of the stuff in it has really nothing to do with climate change. It's like everything else, whatever it's named, think the opposite. That's what it does. Named, you know, all these bureaucracies, the Department of Energy, right? They just kind of clamp down on the production of energy.
Right.
That's kind of the Department of No Energy, you know, Department of Education. enough said on that one, right?
Yeah. That's like Greenland and Iceland.
Kind of, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Iceland is nice, but Greenland is ice or something like that. I forgot how that goes. But,
yeah. Yeah.
So there's a lot going on. Never trust include the names of bills before Congress. That's exactly what I was saying, because whatever they say it does, it's going to do the opposite. They just name it that to try to sell it and try to get it going. So.
Oh yeah. And
okay.
Yeah, and you think about it. the Green New Deal or whatever you call it, the New Green Deal, whatever crap that is, all you have to do is take a look at the Paris Accords that we just got back into, that Trump got us out of. And, you know, gas prices are starting to shoot back up because of some of the standards and stuff that they've set in the Paris Accords. And the Green New Deal is the same exact way. It's set precedence over certain things, and it's going to cost us. Our energy prices are going to go up. We're going to pay more for gas. We're going to pay more for electric. We're going to pay more for this and pay more for that because of this Green New Deal and everything that they're going to clamp down on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a big deal, and we should pay attention to it, just like H.R. 1 and the voting thing. You know, they're trying to pass this H.R. 1, which is unconstitutional. But they're trying to do that so that they can get anybody to vote. Oh, you came into the country.
They don't even need it. They don't even need people to vote. And all they need to do is wheelbarrow in ballots. That's all.
Yeah, like they did at a certain election. I'm not gonna say, because people are gonna say that I'm crazy.
You're talking about the 2020 election, by the way, folks. We're gonna be censored soon. what did I write? We'll be banned soon.
Yeah, we'll be banned soon.
It's in the show description someplace. I wrote it in one of the little brackets there. A little summary. Your elevator pitch for the show is, yeah, we'll probably be banned soon. That's the elevator pitch.
It's coming. It's coming. I think that's why I was kicked out of the show earlier. Oh, you better stop. And I got kicked out. Oh,
yeah,
hey.
But I didn't. I was the one talking, so.
Yeah.
Who do we got?
They're going to kick you out next time. We have a caller on the line again. It's a 909 area code. 909. Where's 909? I'm trying to think. Where's 909? I think 909 is.
Yeah. Now, not for nothing, can't you just open the mic and ask them?
Well, that's true. That's true. All right. Area code 909. You are on the Dave and Jeezy Rock Show. Welcome. Who are you and what you got to say?
Well, hello. Hello from California.
Oh, I remember. I remember you. Did you call us a couple weeks ago?
I did.
Yes.
Ah, welcome back.
Welcome back. Thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to comment on this Green New Deal because what you're describing as far as it being a lot of the climate accord things, it is, but it's also much more than that. They've actually went into more detail, making it an international and comprehensive deal to where they plan on sequestering agriculture. So it was Senator Padilla, because they had a press conference, that got up and spoke and tried to make it sound like it was a great thing. So we're not only sequestering agriculture, but we're going to do it for the benefit of the American people so that we can ensure that the soil is environmentally safe while maintaining food supplies. And it's like, what? And they plan on hiring 1.6 million people to Civil Climate Corps, a new group that they're putting together, and this Civil Climate Corps member will be entitled to housing and great pay and what was the other basically they're going to go around to make sure that companies, corporations are green, if you will,
mm-hmm.
With technology. And they're aiming for a zero carbon by 2056. And so companies and corporations will have to become shareholder or share profit, for profit, I guess, where they share it with the employees as well. So they're commandeering them, the companies as well, here in the United States, which you know what that means, that they'll move out, so there will be no jobs. We won't make anything mm-hmm. anymore. We make very little as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all due to Senator Markey and Ocasio-Cortez and many other Democrats who have co-signed this initiative. So,
well, that's brilliant. You've
they're
just
really going for it.
Yeah, you've just described communism too.
Yes. Yep.
And
Shisa.
Yes. No money to the police.
Did you say your name was Suzette?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And just we got a note that it might be Suzette, and I just wanted to double check. So we're just making a note so that when you call back, we can recognize where you're calling from. So.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and thank you for listening, because it's phenomenal to have somebody that we don't see on the screen, that we don't see on the call board, and then all of a sudden, boom! Hey, there's been people listening. That's awesome.
Well, actually, both myself and my husband is bringing it. Boy, he's in your chat room, so we
listen
together.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right.
All right.
Boy. Well, awesome.
Boy. Yeah, that's awesome.
And I know No Way as well. That's funny. And Angry Mom.
Yeah. Oh,
they're good people.
Yeah.
Oh,
they live
really?
In Maine. They live in Maine.
Yes, they sure do. And I hope No Way is well. He kind of did fall off of the face of the earth. He has a YouTube channel that he's been maintaining, although I haven't seen any postings recently. So I hope everything is okay. Mm. He wasn't well, as you know. So.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll look him up and see what's up with that.
Yeah. Have to holler at them. Have to holler at some of our old peeps that we used
yeah.
to talk to.
There you go.
Back in the days.
Well, Suzette, that was quite the breakdown of that Green New Deal. I mean, that's a lot of stuff that I hadn't really, you know, you hear things, you know, kind of like in the background, you know, and some of it gets through while I'm doing work and stuff, but you know, it's not what you just said is not the kind of stuff that, you know, if all even listening to talk radio and in the top of the hour news and stuff like that, you don't hear any of that stuff. And it's certainly not presented the way you present it, but I know that there's no spin on what it is. The spin goes the other way.
Mm-hmm.
It's gaslit in the other direction. So,
yes.
So,
and
I really
during the press conference to talk about it and as if it was all such a great thing that I was taken back, actually, that they see nothing wrong with anything that they're doing.
Yeah.
And it amazes me that they can talk about being constitutional and preserving our as democracy, and I
yeah,
do use air quotes
yeah.
for that.
Yeah, right.
Even if it were a democracy, which it's not, they're not preserving that either, because this is outright, you know, socialism / moving into communism by sequestering, you know, parts of our resources.
Exactly.
You look at what they're doing and what they want to do and what they say they want to do. You know, you want to get rid of the police. Well, why would you want to do that? Well, if you put like one, maybe 2 seconds of thought into it, what will happen if you don't have somebody who will enforce the laws? You're going to have more crime. It's going to get crazy. Well, then what will happen? People would say, hey, you guys have to do something. And then they say, thank you. And they go, boom. And they slam the door shut.
And they could be getting rid of the police in order to federalize police and go that route, which that would be very bad, as we know. But, you know, that's my thought as far as their reason.
Doesn't that equal the same thing, though? Doesn't that kind of equal the same thing? I mean, yes, they're going to federalize it, but it's just so that they can boot on everybody's throat with the backing of the federal government. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, because we know better.
Yeah, you guys are so stupid. We'll tell you how to live.
Exactly. I mean, they'll end up doing, you know, is right now the states have control, so they're releasing all these criminals, defunding the police, so chaos, you know, can ensue. So this way they can federalize police, and now they have control over the federal police. And, yeah, as you said, put that boot. And then they'll round up all the people that they let out, put them in prison, and then some.
No, they won't. They'll put us in prison. You know that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you said, and then some.
Yes, because we are the bad guys.
We are
the bad guys.
We're so crazy, but we're not. We I still contend, okay, that we outnumber them to such a high degree. So, I mean, amazingly high degree. Probably 75-25. You know, I think
that's how far we
outnumber. And it's the voter fraud. All we have to do is accuse the other guys of voter fraud, and we can get away with it. As long as we get the accusation out first, they'll believe
us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as the mainstream media and any other outlets that are on board with the socialism, communism agenda, makes it appear as though we are the minority and that we are, you know, outnumbered and to give up because it's all over for you guys.
Ding,
and
ding, ding.
It's not.
Gaslighting. Right? It's gaslighting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, anyway, I don't want to take up too much of your time.
We got nothing else to do. So you go right ahead.
I have a question for you, Suzette.
Okay.
What's your thoughts on Caitlyn Jenner running for governor?
Well, when I look at it from a qualification standpoint, I say not qualified, and there are other caveats to that, if you will, because of the transition, the hormone issues. So there are a lot of different aspects to why I don't believe that she would be a good candidate, other than the fact that, you know, who she is. I mean, she's still who she is. She still has conservative values. She's progressive socially, but other than that, she's always been conservative. So, you know, as far as that goes, I'm not too concerned about any type of, you know, wacko type of policies or anything like that, but just qualification-wise, I don't believe that that she's qualified. A candidate that I would support, though, would be, oh, goodness, now you're drawing a total blank.
Alan?
Huh?
Alan.
Yeah. Oh, no. He was Trump's CIA director for a moment, filling in.
Oh, goodness. I know who you're talking about.
He was an ambassador as well.
Yes. Oh, Jesus.
God, why am I drawing?
I got nothing.
I'm drawing a blank right now.
My husband's looking him up. He was a CIA director, fill-in.
I'm going to say, when you say it, I'm going to go, oh, yeah.
Yes, I know. We're trying to find him right now. Anyway, because he has experience, he's a conservative, he's all for transparency. In fact, he was the one that had released the Russiagate report that wasn't going to be released, and Donald Trump had tried to get it released, but they weren't going to, as far as our intelligence department. And he let it go. Him and Devin Nunes made it possible to release that. So anyway, I think that he would be the best.
Yeah.
And it's a shame I can't remember his name right now. I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah.
I talk about it all the time, too. Oh, it's terrible. Anyway.
Yeah, the crazies haven't come out of the woodwork yet, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens once everything gets in full force and moving ahead.
Well, let me ask this one, Suzette, because you were talking about the recall. I think I asked about the recall in California. What's going on with that?
They're counting the votes right now.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, did they have the election? Did they have a special election?
We had the votes, and I say that because we had made sure that we had 800,000 over. So this way, if they discount any of the votes and say, okay, we're not taking this one, dismissing it because of this reason or that reason.
Yep.
Okay, fine. We still have another one here. Here's another one. So, yeah.
But they're real people. They're real signatures, right? Because they did that on the 2020 election, and they're like, oh, what do we need? 4 more ballots? Here you go. We need 17 more ballots? Here you go. What do you need? Oh, you need 400? Here you go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But okay. All right. So they're counting up the signatures right now?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
How long have they been counting signatures, just out of curiosity?
Since November? They're taking their sweet time, but there's only so much time. I mean, it's like, come on, you guys. There's only so many signatures. Where are you going with this?
Well, that's what I'm kind of getting at. Like, you know, are they just putting you off and putting you off and putting you off? I think I asked this last time. They're just drawing it out and drawing it out. Kind of like all the lawsuits that were like, no, you don't have your I dotted on this one, so that going to throw that out. No, you don't have standing. You're not the person that would bring this lawsuit. All draw it out until they got their president sworn in, and now there's nothing anybody can do. All the lawsuits in the world aren't going to change that we have that president. So
next week
are they trying to draw it out to a deadline?
I'm sorry. Yeah, next week they're announcing it. That's good. They announced it today. As a matter of fact, it's funny you brought it up.
They announced it as
having the total next week. They'll be finished.
Oh. Yeah.
All right. Well, would you do us a favor and give us a call next week?
I'm sorry?
Give us a call next week and keep us posted, pretty please?
Yes, definitely. You'll hear the champagne bottle pop.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Richard Grinnell is, so you're probably going to say, aha, that's him.
Yes. Yes, of course. That's Richard Grinnell. Who doesn't know Richard Grinnell? Actually, it does ring a bell. So, you know, it's kind of like, aha.
He was on Glenn Beck on an interview, and Glenn Beck had asked him if he considered running should Gavin Newsom get recalled, and he said that if that does happen, that he might throw his hat into the ring, just because he lives in California as well, so he wants to ride the ship. Well, obviously.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can throw his hat in the ring. Caitlyn Jenner threw her panties in the ring. Who else you got? Who else you got?
you could probably throw Richard Grinnell's panties in there too. I mean, he's a male, but
okay. Oh, well,
see, the thing with him is he's gay, and so, you know, as far as the first gay ambassador, the first gay CIA director, whatever, that's not what he wants to be known with or anything about that. That's his personal life, you know, and that's how he feels about it. It has nothing to do with what he does for a living or anything else, any other aspect of his life. You know, that's a small part. And so, you know,
right.
You got to respect that. Not one of those up in your face. Here I am.
Right.
I'm gay and I'm the first gift of that.
Right. He's not denying it. He's not running from it. It just is what it is. But that's not my main thing. My main thing is my job or my position or whatever I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that's good. All right.
Awesome. Yeah. Because
Rich Grinnell. Got it.
Yeah. unlike the left, unlike the left, they present themselves as, I'm such and such, and I'm gay, and I'm running for, just like, what's his name, Booty Plug, Booty Gay, whatever his name was. Yeah, just like Booty Plug.
I think it was Booty
Plug. Henceforth, anyways, regardless, henceforth, that's what it is. So, Jeezy, tell me this, okay, because you have said this. You have said this when Obama was elected. You said the Democrats have gotten a taste of the first. And the next one thing would be like the first woman president.
Uh-huh.
And then that didn't work out. So
yeah.
What's the next thing they're going to be first at?
It didn't work out yet. There's still
still Sleepy Joe to die. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kamala.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're waiting on Sleepy Joe to die so that they can be the first again.
All they have to do is just stop moving him around. You know, and you've got the whole weekend at, you know, Creepy Joe's.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
Weekend at Bernie's. Yeah.
Right. I mean, those jokes can fly a mile a minute as far as him goes, as far as he goes, because if Donald Trump lost his train of thought. Even a fraction of the time that quid pro quo Joe, Jim Crow Joe, that's the new one, Jim Crow Joe.
Oh yeah.
then they would be all over it, you know. It would be the end of the world, you know. He's doing. We need the 25th Amendment. Him out. Okay. Have you looked at Jim Crow Joe? Have you seen him? Have you looked at him? Have you heard him try to speak?
Well, see, Trump has to drink water with two hands, though. See, so that makes him, you know, worthy of the 25th Amendment. But nobody bothered to report the reasons why he used two hands for the glass of water, and that's because of the condensation on the bottom of the glass that drips. And rather than to have it drip on his tie or his shirt, he uses two hands so this way he can catch any drips with. You know, from the glass while he's drinking, which makes sense.
Joe?
Donald Trump.
Oh, Donald Trump.
Because he used two hands to drink water, and they were all over that saying, see, he can't even hold up his glass. He's got to use two hands. You know, he got a 25th Amendment him out.
Well, I saw them do that when he walked down a ramp really, really slow. And they were like, okay, yeah, all right, that's it. That proves it right there. I mean, you know, he's – okay, all you have to do is talk with that man, and he will run circles around you. You won't admit it, but he will. You know?
And,
yeah.
You know, well, Newton's law, you know, gravity, he's going down a ramp. How do you fall up a ramp or upstairs, you know? I mean
– Oh,
well, we have to ask Joe for that one, but
– I was just about to mention that. How do you fall up – the stairs, and not just once. He didn't do it just once. That was the funny part. He just couldn't get a hold of me. Hold on, pancakes. Yes.
No, I got it. I got this. He gets up and looks around, right? like when you have like a kitten that's running its. Fast as he can off the floor, and then can't stop and smashes into the wall. Gets up and looks around like I meant to do that.
Turns around and gives us the loot. Like I'm okay, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Dying. Those metal stairs hurt.
That's right. I broke my hip, but I'm finishing these stairs.
That's great.
Gonna have to get my body double.
Just totally just writes it off as far as well. I was gonna say this, but now I can't remember. So I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Yeah. Any questions? Good. Yeah.
As he's walking out. Is it time for cookies, Momo?
You have to call back, man. You have
when
to call
do I
back.
Go back into the basement?
Yeah. I want my woke mask.
My woobie. I want my woobie.
Warm jello again.
My husband says, warm jello again.
Exactly. Well, let's put him on. That's bringing it, boy, you said, right?
Yes.
Let's have a chat with him, if that's all right.
I usually like to stay in the background because then it makes it easier on the show.
Well, it gives us a voice to the name and helps us connect and we can chat. So what do you think of our show? You've been to a few of our shows and how are we stacking up with our competition? Just out of curiosity, this is a little interview.
Well, you're doing great. I haven't had a chance to go take my dog and kick it across the yard, but other than that, you guys are right on point.
Okay. All right. Well, we're taking breaks now, so you can do the dog kicking during the break. we got the promos. You don't need to sit and listen to that. You have to listen to the wife promo. What do you think of that one?
I did. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Because I was sitting there thinking, hey, wait a minute. That could be me being a wife. <They're getting>
that. That was the point.
Yeah, because my wife used to have a show on BTR. And, it's like constantly had to make sure everything's set up so that show no one's got no interruptions, no phone calls, the dogs are taken care of, and then she can just proceed with the show. She had so many problems with the BTR, it just got expensive.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for coming on. We got like 2 minutes left, but I wanted to, since you were right there in the same room with Suzette, we appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
All right. You guys too. Thanks very much for coming on. Take care.
All righty. All right. Oh, they hung up.
Well, that's all right. They're still listening, but,
Yeah. They're still listening.
Not on the phone.
It's all good. It's all good.
Because he's commenting real time in the chat. So, yeah. So
yeah.
He's bringing it. Boy.
Some Flavor Flav.
Yeah, you're doing that better than me, so.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming up to I don't know where the countdown clock is. I think I did we already go over it? No, we got 1 minute and 24 seconds. All right, so
yeah.
So we hit some good stuff. I'll listen to it tomorrow to find out what I said. Anyways, this is you know what we need? We need exit music. You could do the
read
one that,
my mind.
Do the one that we used to do for the opener on this, and then you'll be good.
Okay.
Because it's just
music.
How long is it? 20 seconds or 40?
Yeah. 39 seconds, 40. So, yeah.
All right. So ready? 3, 2, 1, hit it.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate you. And we are out of here.
We're out of here.
We are out of here. Well, that's it.
That wraps it up, man.
Yes.
Nice. Oh, Bigfoot. Indeed. Thanks, Bigfoot.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you guys. Yeah. They'll be able to hear that when they re-listen to it, if they re-listen to it. Yeah, it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bringing the boy left. Yeah.
All right. Pretty good.
Cool. So I didn't realize bringing a boy's wife was Suzette. I did remember her voice. from 2 weeks ago when she called up. And,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I picked up on that too. So, yeah, all good.
So, yeah, I was wondering when she calls, can you write her name in? And then
yes.
Next time she calls, it'll be her name.
Yes.
All right.
I hope it saves it.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Get it. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do. I see bringing that boy in there next week. I'm going to say, hey, have your wife call. We got to check something.
Yeah.
We're going to check the BTR studio. See if it's saved up.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
All righty. All right.
I'm good.
Yeah. I'm
good
about
show.
To get off my machine. Yeah. Great show. And cool. Thanks, Sue, for promoting
you,
Sue. It for us. I had kind of screwed up. I had I thought I had sent her the link yesterday, but I went back and I looked, and I don't know what happened, but I didn't send it. So I sent it to her like last minute. I sent it to her like at like 5 o'clock. I was like, my bad. Here's a link. Can you please promote? And she did a phenomenal job once again. So
yeah,
we always got to thank her for the great job that she does. So it's all good, all gravy. You know how we do what we do. And I'll talk to you later.
We'll do it again next week.
Oh yeah.
All right. See you later.
All right. Have a good one. Have a great weekend.
All right. You too. Bye.
All right. Peace out.